The Truth News Network. Only you can prevent glorifying lies. TNN.
The Truth News Network.
Dan Newman.
Well, I'm not sure it was all lies, but yesterday's Senate Judiciary Committee hearing was full of some firecrackers, maybe even some dynamite. Hello, everyone. I'm Dan Newman, and today we discuss the Barr explosion. The guy whose picture's to the left on the front page of today's story is under a most vicious attack by Senate Democrats. That guy, Attorney General William Barr, testified for several hours before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Wednesday. He faced a barrage of professional and personal insults and verbal assaults from Democrat committee members. The attacks and insults were no surprise at all. It was all a setup. The setup culprit? The Washington Post. Surprise, surprise. Mueller complained to Barr about the memo on key findings. That's the banner headline at the top of the Washington Post website on Wednesday. But when you click your way to the actual story, it turns out that the headline is not true. Special Counsel Mueller's complaint, which targeted Attorney General Barr's March 24th letter explaining the report, is not about the key findings, Mueller's words. It's about the narrative of the March 24 letter, and Barr's public explanation made it clear. He had no intent to summarize the Mueller report at that time. He couldn't in a simple statement or letter. Folks, it was 448 pages long. It would take far more time and far more pages to summarize the findings than Barr was able to do at the time. But Barr wanted to get the report released publicly as soon as possible, which he did. It comes as no surprise that the day before the Attorney General is to testify, the Washington Post would invite reporters to come to their offices to read Mueller's letter. Think about that. They invited reporters to come read Mueller's letter. They wouldn't send reporters away with a copy of the letter. So why do you think that is? Here's my thought. The Post editorial staff was thinking ahead about possible prosecution for leaking classified documents to the media. Mueller's complaint is that Barr did not fully capture the context of Mueller's 400-plus pages, the nature and substance of the report, Mueller said. Barr explained publicly why he could not, in a summary, discuss the report, just because it's way too long. And to that end, Barr, though he didn't have to, released the full report just hours after that press statement to the public, just as he promised. This complaint was set forth in Mueller's own letter dated March 27th, and I've got the letter for you. It's not very long, so just listen up. This is from Robert Mueller to Attorney General Barr. I previously sent you a letter dated March 25th, 2019. This is Mueller. That enclosed the introduction and executive summary for each volume of the special counsel's report, marked with redactions to remove any information that potentially could be protected by the Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure 6E, that concerned declination decisions, or that related to a charged case. We also had marked an additional two sentences for review and have now confirmed that these sentences can be released publicly. Accordingly, the enclosed documents are in a form that can be released to the public consistent with legal requirements and department policies. I am requesting, said Mueller, that you provide these materials to Congress and authorize their public release at this time. As we stated in our meeting of March 5 and reiterated to the department early in the afternoon of March 24, the introductions and executive summaries of our two-volume report accurately summarize this office's work and conclusions. The summary letter the department sent to Congress and released to the public late in the afternoon of March 24 did not fully capture the context, nature, and substance of this office's work and conclusions. We communicated that concern to the department on the morning of March 25. There is now public confusion about critical aspects of the results of our investigation. This threatens to undermine a central purpose for which the department appointed the special counsel, to assure full public confidence in the outcome of the investigations. See Department of Justice press release dated May 17, 2017. While we understand that the department is reviewing the full report to determine what is appropriate for public release, a process that our office is working with you to complete, That process need not delay release of the enclosed materials. Release at this time would alleviate the misunderstandings that have arisen and would answer congressional and public questions about the nature and outcome of the investigation. It would also accord with the standard for public release of notifications to Congress cited in your letter. See 28 CFR 609C. The Attorney General may determine that public release is what that statute says of congressional notifications if the Attorney General determines it would be in the public interest. Sincerely yours, Robert Mueller. So what is the hoo-ha from Democrats against Barr? And the term hoo-ha is a little bit understated. If you didn't see those hearings, oh my God. But what is the hoo-ha from Democrats? That question can best be answered by former federal prosecutor Andrew McCarthy. And here's how he summed it up, a very short summary by Mr. McCarthy. The Democrats' perjury, contempt, impeachment, slander against Barr is based on the fact that, in prior congressional testimony, Attorney General Barr was asked whether Mueller agreed with Barr's conclusions about the report, including that there was insufficient evidence to charge obstruction. Barr replied that he did not know whether Mueller agreed. Democrats now contend that Barr must have known Mueller disagreed because he had Mueller's letter. But Mueller's letter doesn't say he disagreed with Barr's conclusion. It says he was unhappy with how his work was being perceived by the public. Big difference. Barr and Mueller spoke by phone the day after Mueller sent his letter. And if you wade through the first 13 paragraphs of the Post story, you'll finally find the bottom line. This is so typical of especially the New York Times and the Washington Post. They come out with these amazing headlines, five or six or seven or eight paragraphs just demeaning who the story's about. And then if you get way down into it, you get to the truth. Here's what paragraph 14 did. It says this: when Barr pressed Mueller on whether he thought Barr's memo to Congress was inaccurate, listen to what Mueller said. Mueller said he did not think there was any inaccuracy in that letter, that the media coverage of it was misinterpreting the investigation. I just can't believe that anybody in law enforcement would ever think today's media would misinterpret details of an investigation. So even Mueller conceded through gritted teeth, though, that the Attorney General's letter was accurate. Wow. So you know what? I thought in this story today, while we're together, I've got a Mueller question or two. Let me give them to you. Have you heard anyone state who actually wrote the Mueller report? Certainly, the special counsel himself was involved in its preparation, but there's far too much political angling in it for it to have been penned by Mr. Mueller. Though as of today, I have no evidence to confirm my thoughts on that. The Mueller report seems eerily similar to the past writings of one of the worst federal prosecutors in U.S. history. Who is that? A guy named Andrew Weissman. Weissman is known to be a proverbial bulldog that will do about anything to find justification for prosecution and conviction of everyone involved in every case where he puts one of his bullseyes on them. Not only does the verbiage and structure of the report reek of his methods, the pre-dawn raids which armed FBI SWAT agents conducted at Manafort and Roger Stone's homes were certainly orchestrated by Weissman. Who was he? Listen closely. Andrew Weissman, notoriously known as a tough prosecutor, previously accused of prosecutorial overreach, has a less than stellar career after various courts reversed his prosecutions due to his questionable conduct and tactics. As director of the Enron Task Force, you remember that, Weissman shattered the Arthur Andersen LLP accounting firm and in doing so destroyed over 85,000 jobs. Those 85,000 jobs went away at one time. In 2005, the conviction, I bet you'll be surprised, it was reversed by the United States Supreme Court unanimously. In other words, the only true crime in the case was the murderous destruction of 85,000 jobs and the lives they ruined at the hands of Andrew Weissman. Weissman's next conviction threw four Merrill Lynch executives into prison with no bail for a year, a whole year, only to be reversed by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans. Unanimously, Weissman subsequently resigned from the Enron task force. A suspicious timely move, as the public eye had just caught sight of his modus operandi. Additionally, Weissman has some unsightly political ties, having attended Hillary Clinton's election night celebration in New York. He also sent an email to Acting Attorney General Sally Yates praising her boldness on the night she was fired for refusing to enforce President Trump's travel ban. President Trump was trying to enforce the law. Weissman was trying to enforce his bigotry against Trump and Republicans. And then, of course, Weissman disappeared for a while, but guess what? He was hired by Mueller, even with that shady history, to be the aggressive investigator prosecutor on the Mueller team. I guarantee, listen to this, folks, I guarantee, he not only wrote the Mueller report, but he also penned the letter, the Mueller letter that we're discussing today, and then leaked it to the Washington Post the night before Barr's testimony before Congress on Wednesday. Timing is everything, even in legal matters. Truth News Network researchers will not rest until we get firm answers to the question, who edited, if not wrote, both the Mueller report and that letter from Robert Mueller to William Barr, Attorney General? Certainly we'll share our findings when we get them, but I doubt we'll be able to confirm who leaked the letter and the fact that it was there to the Washington Post, and I guess you know why. In just a few minutes, folks, we're going to share with you both the video and the audio of the testimony, or at least a little piece of it, in today's Senate hearing. And it's going to blow your mind. It is an example of the most egregious senatorial actions that I have ever seen in all my 65 years. You don't want to miss it. Back after this at truthnewsnet.org.
Spin free, collusion free, obstruction free, fake news free, gluten free. Dan Newman, TNN,
the Truth News Network.
Chill of winter. I love it. Every season has its colors, and at this time of the year, it's clean white frosts, sharp blue skies, and hot red soup. There's something truly wonderful about coming in from the cold to a steaming hot bowl of tomato soup, watching crusty hunks of bread soften and yield to its warmth. It makes me feel warmed up and chilled out, if that makes sense. But the soup always has to be Heinz.
We may not be able to lower the cost of gas, but we can do something about how many miles you will drive per gallon. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today and let us help you increase the performance of your car or truck. Simple things like replacing your air filter, changing worn-out spark plugs, and using fuel injector cleaner can add up to better fuel economy and big savings. There's an O'Reilly Auto Parts store close to you that has the name brands, low prices, and people who can help.
Restore lost fuel economy and eliminate rough idle with Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, buy two and get one free. Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner quickly cleans clogged injectors to increase fuel efficiency and help your vehicle run smooth. Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner, buy two, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly. Oh, 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 O'Reilly. O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
It's hard to hear the truth, but if the truth will set us free, we'd rather enjoy freedom.
TNN, the Truth News Network.
Again, Dan Newman.
It gets a lot wilder today, folks. Let's just face some facts. Congressional Democrats have no regard for anyone who stands in support of this president. It's that simple. Further, they have no regard for an attorney general, or a special counsel for that matter, who stands in support not of a president, but the rule of law. That's what we saw demonstrated in that hearing. That was best illustrated by Hawaii's U.S. Senator Mazie Hirono. We're showing the agonizing 7 minutes of her questioning of the AG in its entirety here. And of course, in the podcast, you're going to listen to it. The word questioning is in quotation marks because Hirono absolutely did not ask Mr. Barr any questions. She simply insulted him again and again, his professional and personal integrity, and his capability and qualifications to serve as Attorney General. It's 7 minutes long, but it's something that every American needs to see or hear.
Mr. Barr, now the American people know that you are no different from Rudy Giuliani or Kellyanne Conway or any of the other people who sacrificed their once decent reputation for the grifter and liar who sits in the Oval Office. You once turned down a job offer from Donald Trump to represent him as his private attorney. At your confirmation hearing, you told Senator Feinstein that, quote, the job of attorney general is not the same as representing, end quote, the president. So you know the difference, but you've chosen to be the president's lawyer and side with him over the interests of the American people. To start with, you should never have been involved in supervising the Robert Mueller investigation. You wrote a 19-page unsolicited memo, which you admit was not based on any facts, attacking the premise of half of the investigation. And you also should have insisted that Deputy Attorney General Rob Rosenstein recuse himself. He wasn't just a witness to some of the president's obstructive behavior. We now know he was in frequent personal contact with the president, a subject of the investigation. You should have left it to career officials. Then, once the report was delivered by the special counsel, you delayed its release for more than 2 weeks. You let the president's personal lawyers look at it before you even deigned to let Congress or the public see it. During the time you substituted your own political judgment for the special counsel's legal conclusions in a four-page letter to Congress. And now we know, thanks to a free press, that Mr. Mueller wrote you a letter objecting to your so-called summary. When you called Mueller to discuss his letter, the reports are that he thought your summary was giving the press, Congress, and the public a misleading impression of his work. He asked you to release the report summaries to correct the misimpression you created, but you refused. When you finally did decide to release the report over a congressional recess and on the eve of two major religious holidays, you called a press conference to once again try to clear Donald Trump before anyone had a chance to read the special counsel's report and come to their own conclusions. But when we read the report, we knew Robert Mueller's concerns were valid, and that your version of events was false. You used every advantage of your office to create the impression that the president was cleared of misconduct. You selectively quoted fragments from the special counsel's report, taking some of the most important statements out of context and ignoring the rest. You put the power and authority of the Office of the Attorney General and the Department of Justice behind a public relations effort to help Donald Trump protect himself. Finally, you lied to Congress. You told Representative Charlie Crist that you didn't know what objections Mueller's team might have to your March 24th so-called summary. You told Senator Chris Van Hollen that you didn't know if Bob Mueller supported your conclusions. But you knew. You lied. And now we know. A lot of respected nonpartisan legal experts and elected officials were surprised by your efforts to protect the president. But I wasn't surprised. You did exactly what I thought you'd do. It's why I voted against your confirmation. I expected you would try to protect the president, and indeed you did. In 1989, this isn't something you hadn't done before. In 1989, when you refused to show Congress an OLC opinion that led to the arrest of Manuel Noriega. In 1992, when you recommended pardons for the subjects of the Iran-Contra scandal. And last year, when you wrote the 19-page memo telling Donald Trump, as president, can't be guilty of obstruction of justice and then didn't recuse yourself from the matter. From the beginning, you were addressing an audience of one, that person being Donald Trump. That's why, before the bombshell news of yesterday evening, 11 of my Senate colleagues and I called on the Department of Justice Inspector General and Office of Professional Responsibility to investigate the way you have handled the Mueller report. I wanted them to determine whether your actions complied with the department's policies and practices and whether you have demonstrated sufficient impartiality to continue to oversee the 14 other criminal matters that the special counsel referred to in other parts, to other parts of the Department of Justice. But now, We know more about your deep involvement in trying to cover up for Donald Trump. Being Attorney General of the United States is a sacred trust. You have betrayed that trust. America deserves better. You should resign. I have some questions for you. Is the White House exerting any influence on your decision whether to allow Special Counsel Mueller to testify in Congress and when?
No.
Now, you've been clear today that you don't think that any of the 10 episodes of possible obstruction that the special counsel outlined is a crime. I disagree. But you seem to think that if it's not a crime, then there's no problem. Nothing to see here, nothing to worry about. So, with apologies to Adam Schiff, do you think all of the things that President Trump did are okay? Are they what the President of the United States should be doing? For example, do you think it's okay for a president to fire an FBI director to stop him from investigating links between his campaign and Russia? It may not be a crime, but do you think it's okay?
Well, I think the report is clear that...
No, I'm not talking about the report its analysis of whether a crime occurred. I'm asking you. This is not a crime, but do you think it's okay for the president to do what he did, to fire the special counsel to keep them from investigating?
I do think it's okay for the president to do what he did, and I don't think the evidence supports the proposition.
So I guess you think it's okay.
To stop the investigation.
Do you think it's okay for a president to ask his White House counsel to lie?
Well, I'm willing to talk about what's criminal.
No, we've already acknowledged that you think it was not a crime. I'm just asking whether you think it's okay. Even if it's not a crime, do you think it's okay for the president to ask his White House counsel to lie?
Which
Look, if you're just going to go back to whether
which
or not
event
it's a crime,
are you
you're telling
about?
Me that
which
it's okay. Let me ask you the last question that I have in 17 seconds. Do you think it's okay for a president to offer pardons to people who don't testify against him, to threaten the family of someone who does? Is that okay?
When did he offer a pardon to someone?
I think you know what I'm talking about. Please.
What do you mean?
Please, Mr. Attorney General, you know, give us some credit for knowing what the hell is going on around here with you.
Not really. To this line of questioning.
So,
listen, you've slandered this man.
Yeah, what I sort of want to know is how do we get to this point? Yeah,
I do not think that
how do we get to the point
anyone?
Mr.
Chairman, I am done. Thank you very much.
And you slandered this man from top to bottom. So if you want more of this, you're not going to get it. If you want to ask him questions, you can't.
I think every reasonable American will thank Senator Lindsey Graham, who is the chairman of that committee, for his comments at the end of Senator Hirano's questions, not really answers, but questions of Attorney General Barr there. You know, she illustrated my reasoning for the first sentence of the story today. Further, three Democrat 2020 presidential candidates on that committee, there are three of them on the committee, did themselves no favors with their questioning. Amy Klobuchar, Democrat of Minnesota, Senator Cory Booker, Democrat of New Jersey, and Kamala Harris, Democrat from California, embarrassed the citizens of their respective states with their obviously coordinated drilling of the AG. As a matter of fact, I was embarrassed for the citizens of Minnesota, New Jersey, and California myself. The very carefully coordinated questions asked by those three showed how desperate Democrats are to take this president down. And of course, Senator Hirano filtered into that as well. Also, that hearing was another bit of confirmation for what we have stated again and again at Truth News Network. Listen closely. Congressional Democrats are dead set on the impeachment of President Donald Trump. No matter that Special Counsel Mueller found no Russian collusion and no specific grounds of obstruction of justice against the president, the truth, facts, evidence, or lack of evidence, and the rule of law are lost on Senate Democrats. I am ashamed of what we watch play out on national television as probably the smartest person in the hearing room embarrassed those leftist Democrats with his answers, in which he held close to facts and the law, as an attorney general must, and as should every member of a Senate Judiciary Committee should stay close to facts and the law. Democrats did not. Isn't it ironic that any American citizen, me, would even have a thought that members of the Senate Judiciary Committee would literally bend the truth, ignore facts, demean a career federal attorney, now attorney general, simply because he works for Donald Trump, a president that each of those senators hates, but he was elected by the American people. Our final thoughts today are concise and very simple. It is obvious the Democrats in Congress are certainly headed for impeachment. There is no doubt they are petrified of a Donald Trump second term as president. But it became very clear in that hearing that congressional Democrats, at least Senate Democrats, are all in for getting rid of Attorney General William Barr also. Think about that. He served once before as Attorney General. He is known by thousands of attorneys and judges throughout the United States, especially judges, as one of the top legal minds in U.S. law. As a matter of fact, he's known well at the United States Supreme Court and is revered in that regard. He is a brilliant constitutionalist. His record is impeccable. Yet a dozen or so Democrat senators spent hours on Wednesday saying the vilest things, making continual, vicious, unfounded allegations against Mr. Barr. Forget about President Trump. They were after Barr as well. How did he respond? He never raises his voice. He never impugned any senators for their questions, their attitudes, or their reasoning for their vitriolic demeanor during the hearing. I could never be a civil, controlled, and certainly compliant with their questioning under those circumstances. He amazed me. Donald Trump made a brilliant move by appointing Mr. Barr as Attorney General. And one thing more. Certainly, you have heard this. The hen that clucks the loudest is almost always the one that lays the egg. Based on the limited facts in the public about this and what America saw and heard in that Senate judiciary hearing, I would not be surprised if several of those senators sitting on the left side of that hearing table are the subject of several of those 70,000-plus sealed federal indictments that many, many folks are waiting to watch start being executed. 70,000-plus federal indictments, verifiable easily. They're out there. Do you think maybe there was some hen clucking going on in Congress during that hearing today? What a day, folks. I think this was a dark day in American history as far as our government is concerned. It will definitely go down as a historical event. We're on top of it as things happen in that regard and others regarding what's going on, everything that's going on in D.C. We've got it here for you. Unbiased and truthful from Truth News Network. And we bring it to you every day. Till we get together next time. So long, everybody, and you have a great day.
Facts and evidence is all you'll see and hear on TNN, the Truth News Network. Find it exclusively at truthnewsnet.org.